Welcome to Zichud Asimani. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Masechet Pesachim, Daf Pei Tes, the 8th Perek, Ha'isha. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah states, Omer Levanav, if one says to his sons, Harini Shochet Etz HaPesach HaMish Yal Mikem Rishon Yishalayim, I'll shech the Pesach for the first one of you to go up to Yishalayim, as soon as the first one put his head and the greater part of his body inside the city, Zache B'chelko Mezake Es Echov Imo. He acquires his portion and gains portions for his brothers along with it. Now the Gemara infers from here that Yesh Breira, there's retroactive determination, and therefore, although the father didn't know which son to register at the time of the Shechita, it's valid. Rav Yochanan rejected this inference and said, K'dei lezarzem b'mitzvos ka'amar. The father said this to his sons only to be mezarzem in the performance of mitzvahs, but he in fact registered all of them. And this is indicated from the wording of the Mishnah, which states, U'mazaka echav imo, and he gains portions for his brothers with him. That makes sense if they all registered at the time of the Shechita. But if they had not been registered until after the Shechita, how can they be registered? For the next Mishnah states, Nimni moshkin tzidein mimenu ad shishachet. People can be registered for a Pesach or withdraw from it only until it is shechted. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Nimni moshkin tzidein mimenu ad shishachet. People can be registered for the Pesach or withdraw from it until it is shechted. Rabbi Shimon says, ad shiyazarik as adam, until the Kohen does rik as adam. Now, Abai said the Malchukas only applies to withdrawing from it. For the Rabbanim maintain that the Pasuk miyos meser, they withdraw from being for a lamb, is interpreted as teaching that one can only withdraw mechayusidisit, from the life of the lamb, meaning while it's still alive. Rabbi Shimon interprets the Pasuk, Mahavayasidisit, from the circumstances of the lamb, meaning as long as the avod is still being performed with it. But with regard to registering for the Pesach, everybody agrees one can do so only until the Shechita. For the Pasuk states, B'michsos nefashos, according to the number of people, referring to registration, and then it states, Tachosu, shall you be counted, which alludes to Shechita. As the Gemara on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph explains, that in the language of Circe, an Aramaic dialect, the verb kos denotes Shechita. So this order in the Pasuk indicates that registration must precede Shechita. And point number three, the Gemara inquires, Bnei Chabura Shehayu Yadav Shel Echom En Yafos. If one of the members of a group has refined hands, which Rashi explains is a euphemism, and it means, in this case, that he's eating larger amounts of food faster than the other members of the group, can they tell him, Tol Chalko Chavetzei, take your due portion and leave? Do we say that he can respond to them, but you accepted me into your group, which Rashi explains means that since they didn't state otherwise, they allowed him to eat as much as he wants with the money he paid? Or perhaps they can say to him, when we accepted you, we only did so to rectify the carbon, which Rashi explains to mean that they only invited him so that nothing would be left over and be disqualified as nosar, but they judged that he would eat the same as other people. After rejecting the first two proofs, the Gemara brings up proof from a price that, in fact, they can tell him to take his portion and depart. And not only that, but five people holding a joint meal at some other time of the year are permitted to tell someone with refined hands to take his portion and leave. So once again, the three points are. Point number one, the Mishnah states, Omer Levanav, if one says to his sons, Harini Shochet Etz HaPesach Al Mishiyal Mikem Rishon Yushalayim, I'll shech the Pesach for the first one of you to go up to Yushalayim. As soon as the first one put his head and the greater part of his body inside the city, Zache Bechelk Mezake Es Echov Imo. He acquires his portion and gains portions for his brothers along with him. Now the Gemara infers from here that, Yesh Brera, there's retroactive determination, and therefore, although the father did not know which son to register at the time of the Shechita, it's valid. Rabbi Yochanan rejected this inference and said, K'dei lezarzem b'mitzvos ka'amar. The father said this to his sons only to be mezarzem in the performance of mitzvahs, but he in fact registered all of them. And this is indicated from the wording of the Mishnah, which states, Mezake echav imo, and he gains portions for his brothers with him. Now that makes sense, but they were all registered at the time of the Shechita. But if they had not been registered until after the Shechita, how can they be registered? For the next Mishnah states, Nimnim umoshkin yaden mimenu achi shechet. People can be registered for a Pesach or withdraw from it only until it is shechted. Point number two, as we just mentioned, the next Mishnah states, Nimnim umoshkin es yaden mimenu achi shechet. People can be registered for the Pesach or withdraw from it until it is shechted. Rabbi Shimon says, Achi Yazarik is adam, until the Kohen does Rik is adam. Abai said the Malchuk only applies to withdrawing from it, for the Rabbanim maintained that the Pasuk, Yos Meseh, they withdraw from being for a lamb, is interpreted as teaching that one can only withdraw Mechayusidesh, from the life of the lamb, meaning while it's still alive. Rabbi Shimon interprets the Pasuk, Mehavayasidesh, from the circumstances of the lamb, meaning as long as the avoda is still being performed. But with regard to registering for the Pesach, everybody agrees one can do so until the Shechita, for the Pasuk states, B'michsas nafashos, according to the number of people, referring to registration, and then it states, Tachosu, shall you be counted, which alludes to Shechita. As the Gemara on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph explains, that in the language of Circe, an Aramaic dialect, the verb kos denotes Shechita. So this order in the Pasuk indicates that registration must precede Shechita. And point number three, the Gemara inquires, B'nei Chabur Sheyadav Shel Echo Mehem Yafos. If one of the members of a group has refined hands, which Rashi explains is a euphemism, and it means in this case that he's eating larger amounts of food faster than the other members of the group, can they tell him, Tol Chalko Chavetzei, take your due portion and leave? Do we say that you can respond to them, but you accept me into your group, which Rashi explains means that since they did not state otherwise, they allowed him to eat as much as he wants for the money he paid, or perhaps they can say to him, when we accept you, we did so only to rectify the carbon, which Rashi explains to mean that they only invited him so that nothing would be left over and be disqualified as noser, but they judged that he would eat the same as the other people. So after rejecting the first two proofs, the Gemara brings a proof from a Braisa that, in fact, they can't tell him to take his portion and depart. And not only that, but five people holding a joint meal at some other time of the year are permitted to tell someone with refined hands to take his portion and leave. All right, so now we go to Simfer Daf Pei Tes, and our standard simon is a pot, and we use a chalent pot. So here goes. At the annual first brother to get to the chalent pot in Yerushalayim race, one of the brothers withdrew his registration before they shechted the lamb, because he knew the other brothers would tell him to leave and eat on his own, because he had refined hands. Once again in slow motion. At the annual first brother to get to the chalent pot in Yerushalayim race, chalent pot, that must mean we're in Daf Pei Tes. At the annual first brother to get to the chalent pot in Yerushalayim race, which reminds us, the Mishnah states, if one says to his sons, I'll shech the Pesach for the first one of you to go up to Yerushalayim, as soon as the first one put his head and the greater part of his body inside the city, Zacha Bechelku Mezaka es Echav Imo, he acquires his portion and gains portions for his brothers along with him. The Gemara infers from here that Yesh Brera, there's retroactive determination, and therefore, although the father did not know which son to register at the time of the Shechita, it's valid. Rabbi Yochanan rejected this inference and said, Kedei lazarzem b'mitzvos ka'amar. The father said this to his sons only to be mazarz them in the performance of mitzvahs, but in fact, he had registered all of them. So at the annual first brother to get to the chalent pot in Yerushalayim race, one of the brothers withdrew his registration before they shechted the lamb. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nimnim emoshkin es yedem mimenu ad shi yishached. People can be registered for the Pesach or withdraw from it until it's shechted. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, ad shi yizarek es adam, until the kohen does rik es adam. Abaye said the Malchokas only applies to withdrawing from it. For the Rabbanim maintained that the Pasuk Miyos said they withdraw from being for a lamb is interpreted as teaching that one can only withdraw Mechayuse de Se from the life of the lamb, meaning while it's still alive. Rabbi Shimon interprets the Pasuk Mehavayase de Se from the circumstances of the lamb, meaning as long as the avod is still being performed with it. So at the annual first brother to get to the chalent pot in Yerushalayim race, one of the brothers withdrew his registration before they shechted the lamb, because he knew the other brothers would tell him to leave and eat on his own because he had refined hands. Which reminds us, the Gemara inquires, B'nei Chabura Shehu Yadav Shel Echem Mehen Yafos. If one of the members of a group has refined hands, which Rashi explains is a euphemism, and it means in this case that he's eating larger amounts of food faster than the other members of the group, can they tell him, take your due portion and leave? The Gemara concludes that they can and say to him, when we accepted you, we only did so to rectify the carbon, which Rashi explains to mean that they only invited him so that nothing would be left over and be disqualified as noser, but they judged that he would eat the same as the other people. So once again, at the annual first brother to get to the chalent pot in Yerushalayim race, one of the brothers withdrew his registration before they shechted the lamb, because he knew the other brothers would tell him to leave and eat on his own, because he had refined hands. All right, so now it's time to go to our four blotback chazara. Daf Pehe. So the Simfer Pehe is a mouth. We use a dentist. So here goes. The Chabura, a proud dentist. Dentist, that must mean run Daf Pehe. Peh, mouth. The Chabura, a proud dentist, whose hands were always tahor as they were extremely careful not to take their Pesach outside, which reminds us, was taught in the Mishnah, Pigul v'noser metamnis yadayim. Pigul v'noser are metami the hands that touch him, which Rashi explains in the Rabbanan. Pigul mishum chashdei kohuna. Pigul because of suspect kohanim would want to cause a monetary loss to those they didn't like. The Rabbanan therefore decreed two on their hands to be betrayed of the kohen to immerse him, which would serve as a deterrent. And noser mishum atzrei kohuna, because of lazy kohanim. Rashi explains that the decree would spur lazy kohanim to eat the meat who might otherwise have let it become noser. The question was asked whether the same decree was enacted for people taking the Pesach beyond its boundary, and the Gemara concludes that there was no need b'nei chaburah zrizin hen. The members of the group that offer the Pesach are zealous, and they're careful with the meat not to take it out of its boundary. So the chaburah, proud dentist, whose hands were always tahor, as they were extremely careful not to take the Pesach outside, were aghast when they saw a chaburah of orthodontist carry a carcass out in poles and place it down, which reminds us, Rabbi Ami said, Hamotzi batzer Pesach mechaburah, chaburah eino chayv ad shiyaniach. If one removes meat of the Pesach from the location of one group to another of another group, he's not chayv unless he places it down in a new location. Hotzak sibe kashabbos. The expression of removing is written concerning the meat, like it's written concerning Shabbos. Just like Shabbos, one's not chayv until he does an akir b'chanach, so too here a person's not chayv until he does an akir b'chanach. Rabbi Amar Bar Amar challenged him for a mission in Zvachim regarding carrying the carcass of the inner chatas offerings out on poles, beyond the walls of the Azorah, where those in the front are metaming their garments as soon as they emerge from the Azorah, even though the offering has not yet come to rest on the ground. So Rabbi Amar Bar Amar resolved his own question, saying it was benigrarim. The mission is dealing with the case where the carcasses are dragging on the ground. Tosa says it was lav dafka that they're dragging, rather the limbs hang down to within three tefachim of the ground, and are deemed resting on the ground based on the principle of lavud. So the Chabur are proud dentists whose hands were always tahor, as they were extremely careful not to take their Pesach outside, were aghast when they saw a Chabur of orthodontists carrying a carcass out on poles and place it down outside the door jamb next to a metal barrier where a minion davened. Which reminds us, the next mission defines the boundary for the prohibition of taking the Pesach outside, mina agav lifnim kolifnim, from the door jamb inward as it judges inside, mina agav lechutz kolechutz, and from the door jamb outward is considered outside. But Yudah said in the name of Rav, the Kenel Tfilah, the same law applies regarding Tfilah. Rav disagrees with Yishub and Levi, who said, afil mechitzu shol barza in mafsechus ben Yisrael la'avihim shev shamayim, even metal barrier does not separate between the Jews and their Father in heaven. Rashi explains that there's no such thing as a barrier before Kodesh Baruch Hu, since everything's revealed to him, therefore the door jamb is not affected, and they're viewed as one group. Daf Pei Vav. So the Simmer Daf Pei Vav is police. So here goes. The police, police. That must mean we're on Daf Pei Vav. The police who responded to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discovered joyous guessing challah on consecrated roofs, which reminds on the bottom of Pei Hei on the base, Rav said, Gagim Valios Lenis Kachu. The rooftops and the upper stories of both Yerushalayim and the Azor were not consecrated. The implication is that Kachim calling such as the Pesach cannot be eaten there. The Gemara questions this ruling. As Rav himself said in the name of Vichia, Kazesa Pesach of Halela Paka Ikra, a Kazais for each registrant and the sound of the challah would crack the roof. Rashi explains that the singing was so loud that it would seem as though the roofs of Yerushalayim were cracked. This implies they used to recite challah on the rooftops and suggests they ate the Pesach on the rooftops as well. The Gemara answers they ate the Pesach on the ground and then recited challah on the roofs and further clarifies that challah was recited after the meal concluded, where she explains that there was no longer concern that people would carry some meat with them. So the police who responded to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discovered joyous guests singing challah on unconsecrated roofs, while they noticed down below two groups eating a single Pesach. Which reminds the next Mishnah states, Shtei Chabur Shei Ochim Bebayis Echav. If two groups were eating a single Pesach in one house, which Rashi explains to mean they all registered for the offering, but when the time came to eat it, they chose to eat it in separate groups, then each group may turn their faces in different directions and eat. The Gemara says that the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the Pesach may be eaten in two groups, but each person may only eat it in one place. Rabbi Shimon holds each person can eat in different places, but when they initially sit down, they must do so as one group. The Machlokas is based on whether one holds Yesh Emul Masoras. Primacy is given to the way the words are written in the Pasuk, or Yesh Em LaMikra. Primacy is given to the way the words are pronounced. So the police who respond to the call of cracking roofs on Pesach night discovered joyous guests singing challah on unconsecrated roofs, while they noticed down below two groups eating a single Pesach and frowning at one of their guests lying on a couch and drinking his wine in two gulps. Which reminds the Gemara relates when Rav Huna Breit Menasim visited the home of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, the hosts were shocked by his behavior when they offered him to sit on a couch. He seated himself. Rashi explains that they expected he would graciously decline and sit on the floor or chair as per the regular custom. They gave him a cup to drink, and he accepted it with the first offer. He drank it in two gulps, and he didn't avert his face while drinking. When they asked him about his behavior, he explained regarding sitting on the couch, whatever the host tells you to do, do. He accepted the cup on first offer because Masarvim Lakatan Ve'im Masarvim Gadol, one may refuse a lesser man, but we may not refuse a great man to drink in two drafts, because it states in a brisa that drinking in one draft is guzzling, drinking in two drafts is proper conduct, and drinking in three is haughty. And he didn't avert his face because the Mishnah states that a kala averts her face, which implies that it's not appropriate for a man to do so. Da Pei Zayin. So the Simmer Da Pei Zayin is gold, and we use a gold digger. So here goes. The gold digger, that must be Ron Duff, Pei Zayin. The gold digger whose new wife was packing up to go to her father's house for the first Pesach, which reminds us there was a steer between the Mishnah and the Brisa regarding where a woman goes to eat the Pesach on her first Yantiv after the wedding and subsequently, and the Gemara clarifies that when the Mishnah said if a woman went to spend the first Yantiv in her father's house, and her father shechted a Pesach for her, and her husband also shechted a Pesach for her, Tolcho b'makom she rotza, she eats where she wants, that was a case where the woman was not a Radufa, not eager to go back to her father's house. The Brisa that stated a woman on the first Yantiv after a wedding eats of her father's Pesach is referring to a woman who is a Radufa, eager to go back to her father's home. So the gold digger whose new wife was packing up to go to her father's house for the first Pesach pleaded with her not to go, promising to never divorce her. Which reminds us that as part of the exchange the Kodesh Baruch Hu had with Hoshea when Klal Yisrael was sinning, and Hoshea said to Kodesh Baruch Hu that he should exchange us with a different nation, that Kodesh Baruch Hu had Hoshea marry Azona, have children with her, and then told him to divorce her. When Hoshea said that was very difficult to do, Kodesh Baruch Hu said all the more so where Yisrael are one of his four kinyanim, which include Torah, Shemaim V'aretz, and the Beis HaMikdash. So the gold digger whose new wife was packing up to go to her father's house for the first Pesach pleaded with her not to go, promising to never divorce her, which would be worse than Galus and Bavel. Which reminds us that the Rebbe Elazar said the reason for Galus is to gather Gerim. Rabbi Yoshia said HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it stuck and that he spread us out in Galus so that we couldn't be wiped out as one, and then discussed the different reasons we went down to Bavel, and that the language is similar to that of the Torah, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them back to their mother's house, referring to Ur Kasdim, where Avraham Avinu's Amunah was realized, and also that they would be able to eat dates which were abundant in Bavel, and will subsequently be able to occupy themselves in Limud Torah. Daf Peches. So the symbol for Daf Peches is a pach, a garbage can. So here goes. The parade of Nachrim drumming on garbage cans. Garbage cans? That must be more Daf Peches. Pach. The parade of Nachrim drumming on garbage cans as they went up to the house of Jacob, which reminds us. Rabbi Elazar said, what's the meaning of the pas of Halchu Amim Rabim? V'amru l'chuvan na'alel har Hashem el beis el kei Yaakov. Many peoples will go and say, come and let's go up to the mountain of Hashem, to the house of the God of Yaakov. Why does it specify the God of Yaakov and not of Avram Yitzchak? Rather, the pasuk teaches that the Beis HaMikdash is not like the description found by Avram, of whom it's written a har, a mountain. It's not like the description found by Yitzchak, where it was written a sada, a field. Rather, it's like the description found in the context of Yaakov, called it a house, as it stated, V'yikra Shem HaMakom Ahu Beis Kel. He named that place the house of God. So the parade of Nachrim drumming on garbage cans as they went up to the house of Jacob stopped to watch a father shech the Pesach for his kids, wife, and slaves. Which reminds us, it was taught in Brisa that the Pesach states, sell a bias, a lamb for a household. This teaches that a person can bring a Pesach and shech it for his minor son or daughter and for his Eved Kanani and Shivcha Kananis, Ben Madait and Ben Shul Madait, whether with their consent or without their consent. However, one cannot shech the Pesach for his adult son or daughter or for his Eved Ivri or Ami Ivri or for his wife except with their consent. Although adult children and Hebrew slaves are currently being supported by the master of the household, they can choose instead to support themselves. Hence, they're not defined as household members in this context. And Rashi explains that a wife has the right to refuse support from her husband and support herself by keeping her handiwork for her own livelihood. So the parade of Nachrim drumming on garbage cans as they went up to the house of Jacob stopped to watch a father shech the Pesach for his kids, wife, and slaves, while another Eved leading a lamb and a kid and who had a worried look on his face passed by. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if a master told his Eved to shecht a certain animal as a Pesach for him, and the Eved forgot if it was a lamb or a kid, and shechach rabo ma'amrula, and if his master also forgot what he had told him, and both animals had been shechted, both animals go to the Beis HaSreif at the place of burning, and both the master and the Eved are punished from having to make a Pesach sheni. Rashi explains that since it's not known which Pesach is the master's and which is the slave's, they can't be eaten because the Pesach is only eaten by those who are registered on it. At the same time, since a specific offering belonged to each one of them, the Shkita and the Zrika were performed for its respective owner and is valid, exempting them from bringing a Pesach Sheni. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Masechus Brachos Shabbos and Erev. Number 1. Which stuff do you know that the rooftops and the upper stories of both Yerushalayim and the Zohar were not consecrated, so the Chabura ate the Pesach on the ground and then sang Hallel on the rooftops? That's on Duff. Peivav. Good. Number 2. Which stuff to learn the reasons why we went down to Bavel for Galus? That's on Duff. Pezine. Good. Number 3. Which stuff to learn the reasons why we went down to Bavel one must withdraw from a Pesach before the Shkito, or can do so up until the Zrikas Adam? That's on Duff. Pay test. Good. Number 4. Which stuff to learn how Rav Huna Braid Rav Nassan explained his behavior to his host regarding reclining the couch and drinking the cup of wine? That's on Duff. Pay Bav. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you know that the father had his sons race through Yerushalayim to see who would be mezaka in the carbon? Kedei lezarzam b'mitzvos. That's on Duff. Pay test. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we have 8 different amamarayim give their opinion as to the difference between a Bryce and Rebbe as to which bones are not subject to the prohibition of Shviras Etzim, breaking bones? That's on Duff. Pay dollar. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you know that one has to do hanoch to be chai for taking the Pesach out, just like Otsah on Shabbos? That's on Duff. Hey, hey. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you learn why the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as Beis El Kei Yaakov? That's on Duff. Peches. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you learn what is done in a case where both the master and the Eved forgot which animal was meant to be shechted as a Pesach? That's on Duff. Peches. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you learn about Malkoch is whether a woman who went to her father's house for the first regal after marriage eats from her father's Pesach, or she can choose her father's or her husband's? That's on Duff. Pezine. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn that one should not walk in front of someone davening? That's on Duff. Chavzine and Brachos. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you discuss using a human to create an enclosure? That's on Duff. Memdal and Nervin. Good. Number three, which have to when the halacha follows the machria, the mediator, that's on Duff? Lamatess and Shabbos. Excellent. All right, that concludes this pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.